morning. I want to welcome all of you here on this first Sunday of Christmas. Also those of you that have joined us on our phone patch and via our Facebook Live. We're going to open our service with song number 50, and all of your songs today are going to be from our Christmas book, Little Blue Book. If you don't have one, there's in the foyer, there's a box with them there. So number 50, there's a song in the air.
Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let us give thanks and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, it is indeed in that name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and King, of whom we have sung, that we come this morning with joyful hearts, celebrating as we have done so recently that child in the manger, that Savior that is born, that Son that was unto us given, He who would stoop to our lower earth here, but this earth that you have created, that you even said was very good, us as mankind, even through the fall, you had that plan of salvation, a child that would come into that humble stable to live that perfect sinless life and to die that death of agony on that cross, center cross of Calvary. And yet the grave could not hold him. And indeed we find ourselves being the object of your joy, that you would joy over us with singing because of that work of your Son, Jesus Christ. And we come with thankful hearts on this new day of grace, this day that you have set aside for rest, a day where we can gather together in corporate worship and to sing the songs of this time of year that remind us of this wonderful work of that child in the manger. We We ask that you would be with the brother as he comes before the congregation this morning to sow his heart, to speak those words to his heart, that they would then come forth to us, the hearer. And we ask this same thing wherever your word is preached, whether it be behind the pulpits of the land or whether it is from one human to another, that your light in this dark world would shine forth from every believing heart, and that those who have not heard this message would hear it, and that it would do the work that the Spirit would have in their hearts. We know that it is your will that none would perish, and that you have even come to this world before we even knew you, and that it is your desire that we would all continue on this journey towards our heavenly home, and that we would grasp the hand of that good shepherd, and he would guide us each step of the way. Be with the young father as they will soon again start their schooling, and that they will continue to learn these natural things, but we pray that they would always learn of the spiritual nature of things that you have provided this Savior. And be with the elderly, Father. We know there are many that have health concerns, some that are improving, and others that maybe are still struggling, that you would, as the great physician, continue to be with each and every one and care and comfort each one. Now, Father, we offer the prayer that your Son taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. We'll continue with number 39 out of the small blue book, the First Noel. Thank you. We're going to read Psalm 148 this morning, found on page 485 in your pew Bibles. We'll read all of Psalm 148 in Jesus' name. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise ye him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his hosts. Praise ye him, sun and moon. Praise him, all ye stars of light. Praise him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. He hath also established them forever and ever. He hath made a decree which shall not pass. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and vapors, stormy wind fulfilling his word, mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. He also exalteth the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, even of the children of Israel, a people near unto him. Praise ye the Lord. Amen. We're going to continue with 91. Sounds like this is a song maybe we haven't sang here, but it's a familiar tune. 91, Jesus Came, the Heavens Adoring.
Thank you.
first of all greet you with the grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. May be with you not only this day, but ever henceforth. Amen. It is a special time of the year that we have currently passed through. I guess we're still in the Christmas season. You know, some of us continue to allow Christmas songs to be played 365, and I think that's okay. You know, there are so many different aspects of the message of Christmas, the history of Christmas, so many different individuals that are involved. And yet what's amazing is that we all need the same thing. We have a God who's personal, who deals with us on an individual basis. And what a blessing that is. You know, when we have received that gift of faith to believe and to look upon His Word as God has caused it to be proclaimed, as He has caused it to be written and brought to us, it is a blessing to us because we recognize that the overarching theme of all of the story of mankind, and I guess we look at the terminology sometimes, you know, we look at history as being the story of man. I guess I prefer more to look at it as being His story, because it is His story. He's the God of creation. He's the God that has provided for us far beyond what we recognize, and even far beyond what we acknowledge and know that we need. Because He is a God of love, because He is a God that has brought grace into this world through His Son, Jesus Christ. You know, the story of the manger is also the story of the cross. And sometimes we find that difficult to reconcile. And yet, as we meditate and as we look into the Scriptures, we see that this work that Jesus came to do was ordained before the very foundation of this world was laid. You know, eternity past, however we want to describe it, it is a gift that God in His mercy has brought to us, in spite of the fact that we have, as a humanity, rejected Him. You know, a God who would love those that reject Him would be a God that we could truly define as a God of love. You know, we find it so easy to reject those that, you know, do evil against us, who do evil against the world, and yet Jesus Himself taught us that we should pray for those even who despitefully use us. You know, the gift that we have is that work of love begins to reside within the heart of those that believe, you know, that have come to know the power of His love. You know, John in his epistle writes that we love Him because He has first loved us. You know, a response to that love that He has supplied unto us. And so the time that we have spent in song, and it has been a season of song for so many of us, and I'm sure you have received a blessing from that, and I trust that you have spent time in meditation on the Word. You know, the account of Christmas is a fairly brief one in the Scriptures, although it has many different facets to it. We know that Luke has given us a beautiful picture of what happened on that at the birth of Jesus, as the angels appeared and began to sing glory to God, that began to praise God and to speak to the lowly shepherds. You know, as they received that word, they went forth with that word, and they said, "We have to go see what this is that has been spoken to us." You know, the angel said, "For unto you a child is born, unto you a son is given." That's how personal our God is. And so the other story that we read from Matthew, the first chapter of Matthew, which we touched on a bit last Sunday, is simply a story or the message of how Joseph received this word. You know, it's a brief account, and yet we see the obedience that he had to the word. You know, that God worked within his heart that gift of faith to be able to go forth as he was instructed to do, to simply listen to God, to do perhaps as we read from the 46th Psalm, when the psalmist said, "Be still and know that I am God." And so our gospel for today is from the second chapter of Matthew. And we're going to read the entirety of that 23 verses. I know the church calendar has I think it started around verses 12 or 13, but I think the picture that we see this second chapter of Matthew is an important one. It's one that brings to us something that perhaps we don't anticipate at the time of Christmas. That's found on page 703 in your pew Bible. And so let's read chapter 2 of Matthew and ask the Lord to provide that which is necessary to each one of us. Reading in Jesus' name. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes, all the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also.' When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, and behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, 'Arise and take the young child, his mother, and flee into Egypt. Be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him.' And when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt. And was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, 'Out of Egypt have I called my son.' Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which they had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, 'In Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they are not. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought after the young child's life. And he arose and took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. And when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither. Notwithstanding, being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene.'" Amen. As I first thought of this, read this scripture back when I was perhaps in my maybe early teens or even before, I often paused before it. Very difficult portion of scripture in so many ways. You know, when we see the type of ruler that was in Israel, and I think it's important for us to recognize the situation that was there, the gives us the historical context of the time that Jesus was born, the difficulties that the children of Israel were under as they were chafing under Roman rule. They were under Herod, who was also known as Herod the Great. He began his rule some 30 years before Jesus was born. And he was not by any means what we could call a good ruler. He destroyed many of his own family, one of his wives, three of his sons, you know, and he was one who was very jealous of the authority and the power that he had. And I think it lays out for us just, you know, how humanity, our even our own selves, unchecked, you know, without the Word of God, without that which is able to bring guidance and direction, the direction that humanity can go. You know, and we often see these extremes in the world around us. You know, I think those are things that bring us fear. You know, even in today's society, we find things that we wish we could just change in an instant. And yet, it doesn't seem like things change much. You know, and that is the gift that we see in the time of Christmas, is that God understands not only the fears and the trials, the tribulations within our own hearts, but in the world around us. You know, why didn't he just create this perfect world? You know, that was one of my questions. Why didn't God just do away with evil? You know, one of the questions that comes often is, why do bad things happen to good people? You know, and the answer is to that, it only happened one time. It happened unto the very Son of God himself, who took upon himself the entire sin debt of the world. He paid for that sin, knowing that humanity would, you know, in only a small part would repent, that would come to believe the gospel. You know, we can look at history and we can see the rise and the fall of the kingdom of God, of the church, in essence, if we look at the outward church. But I think it's important to recognize that God has preserved this kingdom from the very beginning. You know, Matthew, in his opening of the gospel in the first chapter, lays out the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, he goes back to Abraham because Matthew was writing to the Jews. He was a Jew himself. We remember he was a tax collector, one who was actually despised by the Jews. And yet when God changed his heart, when God worked within him that gift of faith to recognize who he was and that he had the need of a Savior, we see the power that God used him to be able to communicate to his own people and to us even today. You know, this gift of the message of Christmas, we call it the Christmas story, but, you know, I think in today's vernacular, so often we think of a story as something that's fiction. This is an account. If we want to use that terminology and that definition of story, then, you know, I think then perhaps we can use the word story. But this is an account of what occurred in those days 2,000 years ago. And we're told here of these wise men that came, these men that came from the East. And there's been a lot of discussion over the ages on exactly who these three were. Was there three? Was there only two? Because some have grouped the two, frankincense and myrrh, together as one gift. But we know that we're told here that there would be three that would come. The prophet in the Old Testament spoke of those that would come and speak and desire to see this Jesus. They would be led by this star. You know, and we're told that they came from the East. You know, did they know the word? I think is one of the major questions that has been raised among theologians. You know, what did they know? Well, we know that God's people were dispersed in many different ways. You know, so often as it was in times of poverty and drought, they would move to other areas where there was food. But so often it was because of wars, as the nations warred against each other. They took captives and they transported them. You know, we saw that with the Babylonian captivity of the children of Israel. The nation of Israel was virtually close to being destroyed some 500 years before Jesus was born. And yet God, in his love towards his people and in recognizing that his covenant would never be broken. You know, this covenant that God has given unto us is a great covenant. He says, I will be unto you a God, and you shall be unto me a people. You know, so frail is that line that goes through the lineage of Lord Jesus Christ. Yet God preserved. God gave to his people this Savior that was born on Christmas morn. this gift that he came here, as this these wise men said, where is he that was born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and come to worship him. They acknowledged that they had a need to worship this one who was born in Bethlehem. And they came and they asked that question. And it tells us when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Jerusalem was troubled because they knew when Herod was troubled, there was going to be some severe ramifications. They were going to suffer as a people. And it says, and when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. Herod was of the Jewish people. And yet, you know, as he drew these people together, as he desired to know where this Savior was born, he had an ulterior motive, didn't he? He wasn't waiting for the coming, as we sang in O Come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel. He was waiting because he thought that this was a threat unto his kingship, unto his reign there in Judea. And so when he had gathered them together, he asked where he should be born. And he said unto him, Bethlehem of Judea, for this as is written by the prophet, and thou Bethlehem in the land of Judah, are not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. You know, the prophet Micah spoke those words, you know, hundreds of years before the birth of our Lord. This was what Israel looked to. This is what the Jewish people looked to. They believed God's word, and they were waiting for this redemption. And then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, go back a verse, he says, and now Bethlehem of Judea, art thou not least among the princes of Judah? For out of these shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. And then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. We see the deceitfulness of this ruler, don't we? And I think it's important to recognize that this is the existence of evil in the world. There is that which is so contrary to our God and to the word that he has caused for us to be written. A word that brings us into a place of where? What does the word bring us? What is God's intent for humanity? Is it to go through life and gather everything we can and, well, when it's over, then we just die? No. His desire, first and foremost, is peace, isn't it? The kingdom of God, Paul tells us, is a kingdom of righteousness, of peace, and of joy. He brings a joy into the heart of the believer that is beyond the happiness of this world. A joy that transcends all of the things that we could think would bring us happiness in this world. Because it brings us that which is eternal. It's a kingdom that is the righteousness bestowed upon us freely. The free gift of what God has provided is in the term grace. By grace are you saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. We don't have a part in our salvation. But what is our part is receiving that, isn't it? It's a kingdom of righteousness, and to receive that peace that God brings to the human heart. When we have recognized the power of the gospel message, how we who have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God come to a place of knowing and believing and trusting in the work of Jesus Christ upon the cross of Calvary, to know that he died for my sins, not just for the sins of the entire world. Because it says, unto you a child is born, unto you a son is given. That's a very personal term. And the gift that we have then is that joy that peace brings into our hearts ignites our hearts to sing a song of praise and of thanksgiving unto our God, to give voice to that which the angels gave voice to give voice to that which the psalmist gave voice to throughout the ages, to know that we have a God who loves us with an eternal love. The gift that God supplies unto each and every one is not what he had supplied unto Herod here. Herod has his own idea. He had rejected that word that God had supplied. And we know that one day there will be a judgment of that. We're not going to be the judge of that. but the one who has performed, the one who has accomplished all things, who knows all things, who has created all things, will be the judge on that last day. The gift that we have is we can see from this message for ourselves how great God's love is. It tells us when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. You know, God calls us to step out, doesn't he? To heed this word. You know, and they were listening here to the word of this ruler to go forth, but we see that the power that they received was that star came and stood over where the young child was, and when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. You know, that to me seems like a heart that believes, that has come to know that this God who has promised has fulfilled his promises. This God who had established his covenant had remained faithful to that covenant. You know, the crying prophet, Jeremiah, you know, he said, "Great is thy faithfulness." As much as he lamented over the things that were around him, the difficulties that the children of Israel were under, the trials that had beset them and himself, yet he acknowledged that great is thy faithfulness. Thy God unto me, as we sing in the songwriter, that he has provided for us a faithfulness, that when we rejoice in what he has provided, it brings to us that joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasure, they presented unto him gifts of gold and frankincense and of myrrh. Again, prophesied by the prophet Isaiah. You know, the fact that they would bring these gifts. This is just truly a miracle, isn't it, in a natural way. There wasn't any long-distance communication that they could say, okay, well, you know, we read back a long time ago, bring this, you know, to the young Christ child. Well, they had read the word that had been communicated and translated to them over the ages. Hundreds of years ago, this was written. You know, the prophet Isaiah lived in the year, around the year 7, between 7 and 600 B.C. This word had been preserved in the hearts of those that believe. This word had been preserved in a very precarious way on the scrolls and on the parchments that they had carried with them, that they had meticulously copied. Something that God had instilled within their hearts and within their lives, that they would deem this so important, that they would carry this message of the word down through the ages. And after they worshiped Jesus and had brought these gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh, it says, and being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. You know, God uses many ways to communicate, doesn't he? You know, we hear a lot about angels at the time of Christmas, and that's very, very much a part of Jewish theology. You know, many of the Jewish theologians have believed that the law was communicated to Moses by angels, and you know, we see many times in a dream, as we saw with, I believe it was also with Joseph, you know, the fact that God has a way to communicate with his people. He brings to us the message that is necessary at the time. He supplies unto us, you know, and these shepherds, they heard, and they believed that word. They desired to be obedient to God and not unto this terrible ruler of his day. And it says, and when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, arise and take the young child, his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word that Herod will seek to destroy, will seek the young child to destroy him. You know, the communication there that God brings, sometimes he does it in miraculous ways, and sometimes it is just saying the simple, plain message. You know, sometimes he speaks to us through our brothers and sisters. Sometimes he speaks to us through the communication of the pulpit. Sometimes he speaks to us as we read the word, as we meditate on the word, as we receive from baptism, and as we receive from the Lord's Supper. What a blessing to know that this word speaks to us in so many ways. But it doesn't speak a different message, does it? It speaks of God's care and his love for humanity, love for us as individuals, And he instructs Joseph to take his wife. And you know, that's the other amazing thing now about Joseph, isn't it? He is obedient to this word. You know, he understands that this is God speaking. You know, this is the Spirit of God speaking to Joseph, as so often we hear of the voice of the Spirit, as Jesus promised to us that when we believe that the Spirit would enter in, we would be born again, be born anew, as the Scriptures tell us. That the Spirit would communicate it, be united with His Word. The two things by which God cannot lie, His Word and His Spirit, are that which testify to us of the great love that our God has for us. You know, Paul in his letter to the Romans, in the 8th chapter of Romans, as he speaks of the work of the law and the power of the law. You know, and he writes this. He says in chapter 8, verse 14, he says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received a spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified with Him." You know, I believe this was the same Spirit speaking unto Joseph, telling him to fear not. He says, "I have a plan for you." Just as He has a plan for each one of us, He will take care and He will provide, no matter the circumstances. Those were dire circumstances that Joseph and his family, Mary and his adopted son, Jesus, were in. But he arose and took the young child, in verse 14, and his mother by night, and departed unto Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Out of Egypt have I called my son." You know, it's amazing, this chapter, as difficult as it is going to be here, when we hear of, you know, the events that Herod took place. You know, this is a fulfillment of prophecy. There's three prophecies fulfilled in this scripture. And, you know, three of them are specific, and one that is more a general prophecy, the very last one. But the gift that we have is to know that God understands not only the present, He knows the future, but more so that He understands and knows the future that we have. He's able to come and to bring to us that which is necessary. He says, "Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and in all the coast thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men." And so now we see Herod and what his motive was. Now, in Bethlehem was a small town, and as theologians and historians have researched, they come up with a figure of maybe a few dozen. You know, and in human terms, they would say just a few, right? But in God's terms, even one is too many. Even one, you know, even in, as we see in our land, so many that want to abort babies in the womb. Even one is too many, because God's gift is that He has created a living soul within everyone that has been created. Life within those even that don't believe. That's how great His love is. As He continues to call through the gospel, He says, "Come, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Learn of me, take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." That's the love that God has towards all of His creation. A love that He is expressed by Jesus as He, after speaking with Nicodemus, He said, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him would not perish, but would have everlasting life." And then Jesus then continued. He says, "For God sent His Son into the world." He sent His Son into the world, not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. For this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved light, darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. And so we see how God and his revelation of Herod, you know, he's not being trying to dampen the Christmas spirit here, so to speak, with this account and this event that took place. But he's speaking truth, isn't he? Because this word always speaks truth. This word, which had searched the heart of Herod, searches our hearts also, brings us to a place where we can recognize God's care and providence. It tells us here then that it was fulfilled that was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, "In Ramah there was a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they are not." You know, recognizing that Jeremiah was speaking of the Babylonian captivity, and yet this also applies unto the children of Israel here in Bethlehem, as God supplied unto them that desire to preserve human life, as they recognized how destructive that was, how they recognized how important each and every individual is unto our God. They began to weep because they are not. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. Isn't it interesting how simply and succinctly the word tells us, doesn't give much account of Herod, and we know that there was other records of the way he died, and yet I think what is important is that the obedience of Joseph here. It says the angel of the Lord appeared in a dream unto Joseph in Egypt, saying, "Arise and take the young child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life." In other words, that this immediate threat now was gone. You know, that you can return. And yet he arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. And yet there was another obstacle, wasn't there? Sometimes it seems that way, doesn't it? There's always one more thing in the way. There's always one more thing. If only I could overcome this. You know, but that is the story of our lives, isn't it? I think it's important for us to recognize that today is a day of grace. Today is a gift that God has given to us to believe. We can trust him at this moment in time to not have fear of what's coming down the road, because God will provide. And sometimes he provides in ways that, you know, may not be acceptable to us. But oh, that we would be obedient unto his will, that we would be dependent upon him, that we would come before him with that humility to receive his word and the direction. He says, "But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither, notwithstanding, being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into other parts of Galilee." You know, the course wasn't direct, was it? It wasn't a straight line, I can get back home to Bethlehem now. But there was a purpose again that God had in the life of Joseph, in us as believers, to be able to hear. Because it tells us that he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, "He shall be called a Nazarene." You know, the fact that he was born in Bethlehem, prophesied. This was not a direct prophecy. This was more of a general. And some have taken that to go back to the prophet Isaiah as he spoke about this, the birth of this Savior. In the 11th chapter, we remember how Isaiah made known. He says, "There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots." The fact that this was something that was not provided for in a way that was understood. "The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, and the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord." You know, the fact that this would be supplied in a way that mankind would not expect. You know, one born out of Nazareth. Remember Nathanael, when Jesus called him, he says, what good thing can come out of Nazareth? Nazareth was a town, maybe we would probably use the term a seedy town today. You know, it was a rough and tumble town. This is where Jesus grew up, among the lowest of men. This is who Jesus came to, right? These shepherds. You know, the angels announced it to the shepherds. God doesn't look for the high and mighty. We don't have to accomplish great things to be recognized by him. All we have to do is exist. Because he recognizes us. He knows who we are. And he uses this word to speak to us. You know, the Apostle Paul and his letter to the Romans, remember Paul was rejected by his own people. And yet he opens that 10th chapter, which is, you know, has been seared upon my heart. He says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. One rejected by his own people, desire that they would be saved. This word of faith that he speaks of, he writes, he says, and what saith it, the word of faith? It's nigh thee, it's in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful upon the feet of them that preach, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. For they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That is our call, dear brother and sister, our mission in the new year, is to share this message to those that have not heard, to share this love that God has for them, to know that his love is so abiding that he will go to the greatest lengths, to the deepest depths, to bring this message to them, to bring it to your heart and to mine, that we can know the power of this gospel that brings peace into our hearts. The gift that we have is that this word supplied by our God is a word that is everlasting, a word that will not fail. Prophet Isaiah, I'm going to close with these words that I'm sure are very familiar to you. Then judgment shall dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness remain in the fruitful field. And the work of righteousness, which is the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, abiding within your heart, cleansing your heart by faith, the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. That's God's purpose for mankind, is that we would receive, not as animated robots, you know, as those that simply are put on a shelf and worship and attempt to give glory to God. But individuals, as we are sinners saved by grace, sinners who have come to know the power of God's love for us, sinners who know that God's love is intended for all of humanity, unto him be all honor, glory, power, and dominion. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's continue with song number 107. I know that my Redeemer lives, number 107. Thank you. ask the Lord to humble our hearts in closing prayer and in benediction. Gracious Father, we give thanks for your word that's eternal. We pray that you would continue to strengthen each one of us as we go forward into the new year. Grant unto our hearts that we would not fear, but that we would know that whatever trial, whatever difficulty, whatever things would face us in the new year, that you are with us, that you have not only sent your Son to come to this earth in a historical sense, but that he is dwelling with us, abiding with each and every one who believes. And so strengthen us, Father, as we go forth, that we might also share this message of your love and your peace into this world. Now we ask that you would bless us and keep us, that you would make your face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us, that you would lift up your countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
So the only thing on the schedule is next Sunday. We'll have Bible study at 10:15 and morning worship at 11. We're going to close with 88, and during the song, an offering will be taken.
Thank you.